Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Pretty soggy for you on the West Coast and a little treacherous on the East Coast as well. Heading into a couple of final weeks before Christmas holidays for many. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Gift-giving ideas? Well, you won't find them here. Although John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, will tell you he got the best gift ever. Almost didn't get that gift because it was at the last moment and just by the skin of his teeth. $1.1 trillion spending bill. Whew, passing it down to the Senate. 219-206, that was the vote, shortly before 10 o'clock on Thursday evening. Even the president was helping his golf buddy, got on the phone. Got Joey Boy, the VP, to get on the phone, too, working over some of the Democratic lawmakers, urging them, jump on this. And they did. Bottom line is, you know the broad strokes. We've talked about it before. But if you've just tuned in and never heard me before, here it is. Government funded all the way through the year, except the Department of Homeland Security. February, tick-tock, boom, they run out of do-re-mi, which means a showdown for the new Congress, where the majority in both chambers will be Republican-driven. And there is the fight over the executive action on immigration. So the funds will run up, or run out, is probably the better way to say that. And all of the furor over, or some who applaud, the 5 million illegals getting what some call a pass to amnesty in this country, some of that dries up. So how quickly can it be enacted, I think, is the big, big, big question. And the Senate, by the way, still does have to pass this bill, and they haven't done that. They're going to take that vote on Friday, but I can't imagine that it gets stuck there. It doesn't seem likely. Really, the big fight was in the House. It's probably going to be a close vote, too, but I can't imagine that that just doesn't go through. It seems everybody is throwing their two cents on the interrogation techniques that were used, the enhanced interrogation techniques that aren't used any longer, that we paid millions of dollars to some psychologists to suggest and to even be there in some of these secret houses. And now we have this 500-page summary, which is a part of 6,000 pages from this Senate Intelligence Committee. And the CIA director, John Brennan, finally threw in his. He responded to that so-called torture report, saying in a very rare, I can't even recall the last time I've seen John Brennan do this unless he was called to testify. In a rare television news conference, he said that the tactics were abhorrent, he called them, that were used on the detainees. He said it was unknown and unknowable whether the treatment yielded crucial intelligence that could have gained, they could have gained information in any other way. He began his explanation by talking about the 9/11 terrorist attacks and then the determination to prevent more assaults and the fact that the CIA officers were the first to fight and early, on this whole thing, and to die in the Afghanistan war. He says the CIA did a lot of things right in a time when there were no easy answers, which, of course, is the truth. You know, planes flying into the towers, into the field in Pennsylvania, and into the Pentagon. And of course, we know there were other targets. The Sears Tower in Chicago was one of them. I heard through my source at the Pentagon, and people didn't talk about this as much, that in Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell and Independence Hall and all that was a target, too. In Los Angeles, there was a target. So we get it. There were supposed to be even some more planes, can you imagine? So it was smart of him to say that, to say, we didn't know what was going on then. What were we supposed to do? We had to come up with something, and this is what we came up with. But he didn't say, what were we supposed to do? He said they were abhorrent tactics, and they were actually stopped in 2004. So Brennan went on, he criticized the Senate Intelligence Committee's investigation on a bunch of different fronts, saying that it was lamentable that the committee interviewed no CIA people to ask, what were you thinking? What were the calculations you used in determining the practices? And he said, you lose the opportunity to really understand what was taking place at the time. And this is why I spent a few minutes to say that. You have the CIA chief saying, ah, Jesus, too bad they didn't actually check with the people who were doing it, which is ridiculous, because if the Senate committee wanted to find out, they could have interviewed CIA people that were involved at the time, and then they would know straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak, exactly what happened, what the conclusions were, and all of that in between. So you have this report that has all kinds of things in it, but some of it is fantasy, in a sense, and is tied to nothing. It's kind of like a little bit, I'm not going to say the whole thing, because some of it's accurate. I'm going to say it's a little bit, maybe 15% TMZ-ish. Let's just see where it goes. Let's just throw it out there, because we knew this was happening, we knew that was happening, and we'll talk about the techniques, because we knew these techniques were going on. So that's ridiculous, because it would have been perhaps some valuable information to hear the other stuff. In fact, I'm kind of shocked. I don't think I said this when this came out the other day, that there weren't interviews with CIA interrogators. Why wasn't that there? So you talk about the methods and that we paid all this money to these psychologists, but then they don't talk to the people who actually did them. You could have sworn them in, and you could have gotten some valuable information perhaps there. I don't know. And see, Brennan refused to say whether he thought the techniques were even torture, and he declined to really go there in that 40 minutes, because it was 40 minutes of first he talked remarks and then answered questions. And he spelled out objections to the report, too, to the committee. And isn't that interesting? And what's interesting is that there was a barrage of tweets challenging him, too. And one said that every fact in the committee's report was based on CIA records, cables, or other evidence. But how about actually talking to the CIA, though? Why not? I don't get it. And also, the report didn't urge any kind of criminal prosecution. And the Justice Department's not going to reopen this. They're not, and they shouldn't at this point, because we've already been through this. We've already gone through the ringer. If there was going to be some prosecution or the law was broken or any of that, because remember, all of this was approved by the Justice Department. Of course they can't go back on that. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So at this point, it seems as though it's kind of a little bit of a one-sided study. And there's some errors. There's some interpretation here that is pretty much stretched, I got to say. You know, what about George Tenet? What about Michael Hayden? That's why Michael Hayden was going nuts over this thing. So 500 pages that conclude that the CIA inflicted suffering on Al-Qaeda prisoners beyond its legal authority. All right, you're going to love this. Coming up on America Tonight, we've got the mailbag. All of you sending us your thoughts on a plethora of things, including the report. And Ivan Elin to talk about Turkey. Is Turkey really a good ally? Think about that. Meet you on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it, so decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Yes, family and friends are gathering to give gifts and wish health and security. But why not enhance cell phone and wireless device security all year with Block It Pocket, a family-owned American business? We now have two spectacular holiday specials. Find them now at our new website, blockitpocket.com, or call 888-315-9618. Hurry, holiday special ends Christmas Day. Give the gift of security from blockitpocket.com, wishing you health, freedom, and liberty.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Sugar Boy called me last night. He said his girl called him. She said, can I come over? She said, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Time to head to the ever-important mailbag. So many comments on the torture report and a slew of other things as well. So without further ado, let's head to the bag.
You have mail, mistress.
First one up, Jeff in Illinois. And Jeff says, hey, Kate, all of this conversation about the torture report makes me think that we're a bunch of pansies in this country. I mean, listen, waterboarding, I get it. Simulating drowning, I get it. I get that we're not barbaric, absolutely. But at the same time, remember what happened on 9/11, all the people who were killed. How, for goodness sake, were we supposed to extract the information from the bad guys? Were they going to just give it to us? No, they weren't going to give it to us. So I think we had to do what we had to do in this country, and we did not do anything that I think was completely egregious, although I may stand alone in that opinion. My friends happen to think that it is barbaric, and it was smart of the prez to use the executive action and hammer down on those interrogation techniques. I wonder how they get information now from would-be terrorists. Yeah, well, not that way. There's no enhanced techniques that are allowed to be used, because you're right, there was the executive action a couple days into Obama's presidency that did away with those techniques. All of that was coming out. There was a lot of conversation about it. And now this is just a document that has it all listed. You know, 6,000 pages from the Senate Intelligence Committee boiled down to 500, with some of the highs and well, there's no highs, what they would call the specifics of what happened during those interrogations, you know, whether it was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or any of the other detainees. And in fact, a lot of the names have been changed. All right, here's another one. This one from Mary, listening to us in Sarasota. Boy, a lot of people from Sarasota are starting to email the show. Mary says, Kate, I don't know if you saw it or not. You probably did because you talk about the weather a lot. But it seemed to me that California, especially San Francisco, was under an incredible funk of rain. And there's certainly a state that is being hammered by the drought. I have two sisters that live there, and they say that it is a welcome sight, but it is a scary sight. Yeah, the downpours have been incredible. They're saying there's even blizzards in some parts of California, Northern California, but the waves, 20-foot waves, and even in the southern part of California, so all the way from like San Diego all the way up to San Francisco, and San Francisco, a lot of kids didn't even go to school. They closed the schools because they were getting 10 inches of rain. I don't think I've ever been any place where I experienced at one time 10 inches of rain. So yeah, it's incredible weather. You get the video. I've seen some of the video out of there, and I can understand why they closed the schools for sure. So Joe says, Kate, Guantanamo, are they going to close Gitmo or not? There's a big story coming out I saw earlier in the morning that at Gitmo, there are a couple of the detainees who are saying some terrible things are happening there, including one who says that he was threatened with rape. I think this is going to put more pressure on the president, who wants to close it anyway, to make the move to close it. But how are we paying for that? Wouldn't it cost millions and millions of dollars to move those inmates, and where would they go? Remember, there was conversation about a prison in Illinois and redoing it, and absolutely, to move everyone from Guantanamo would cost a lot of money. But the bigger question is, okay, shutting it down, where are you putting them? On American soil, because we haven't dealt with this, and that was the whole idea before, military tribunals, and I guess you could certainly have those tribunals, but it would definitely change the system. And remember, that was one of the big things that the president said he was going to do when he took office in 2008. So if Guantanamo was closed on his watch, it would just be a continuation of what he promised to do, because there were a lot of things coming out of Guantanamo that were part of that whole ugly, sordid thing of not torture, but of how prisoners were being treated, and that it was making us look bad in the United States. And that's part of the reason why the president said he was going to close the prison and come back to the United States, but there was massive blowback to that, and you'd have to have congressional approval. You would have to have the funds for that. That would absolutely be part of this deal if that was going to happen. All right, here's another interesting one from Joseph. He's listening to us in New Jersey because he says Joe from New Jersey. And he says, Kate, have you ever had a flu shot? I know you've talked about it a bunch on your show. And there's a lot of debate in my office about whether to get a flu shot or not. At my local grocery store, you're getting $5 off your groceries if you get a flu shot. And what do you think? Well, first of all, this is interesting. I haven't had a flu shot, and I can't remember when I had a flu shot. I know people that swear by it and say there's no way they would ever not have a flu shot, especially when they see some of these severe cases. So it's such a personal decision, because some people feel as though if you get it, it's not doing anything to really prevent the onslaught of flu. The CDC, though, predicts that this season could be worse than others, saying that this virus has mutated and the flu vaccine actually is no longer the best match for the most common strain. So the vaccine would do what? Give you some protection? But what else would you do? You'd have to reduce the number of contacts, limit the infection at the height of infection. You'd have to stagger work shifts for people. If somebody gets the flu, people would have to go home. Schools would have to decide what they're going to do. And that, if it's that bad, and you know, there are flu epidemics where you have the flu breaks out in certain areas, and then it is about that strain. So if the strain is going to be worse, the CDC is already telling us, okay, so if you have the flu shot, it may help you, but it's with the current strain, it's not necessarily the ultimate protection, that's kind of a mixed message to me. But I'm seeing the signs everywhere, and it's a mixed bag, like I said, with people around me getting it. And for me, no, I have not had a flu shot, and I do not know how long. It's been a very, very long time. And luckily, I guess, I have not been exposed to the flu. You know, I think when people get the flu or when people are really, really sick, they should not go to work. And they shouldn't be required to go to work, because that's the whole thing. Then you're around people and there's the chance of infecting them. All right, here's one from Richard, who says, Kate, what do you think with the government shutdown? Are we going to see a government shutdown? It sounded like from your show the other night that there were a lot of conservatives who say they're not going to back John Boehner in the House, and certainly the Democrats are wanting specific things. Pelosi talking about campaign finance and a banking rule. It doesn't, to me, feel as though we're going to have any kind of a consensus on this thing. So what does that mean, and where does that leave us? Well, you know, we have the evil shutdown conversation again, which isn't quite what people think when you say government shutdown. But there's these massive internal battles with the Republicans on the spending bills. So that means Boehner is not going to get the people he needs. And then what about the Democrats he needs to help him pass the funding bills? So Pelosi is not helping. She said initially that she was willing to work with the Republicans, but she's not willing to give up two of the things that are a part of the spending bill, which increases the money with campaign finance you can contribute to campaigns. So that was one of the things that she took off the table. Pretty interesting, I'd have to, you know, have to say. So there is a mad scramble in the House. Are they going to be able to get it done? And then what happens in the Senate? Maybe not. This could go. The prediction is, even Harry Reid is saying this on the Senate side, hey, if there has to be a weekend vote, then there has to be a weekend vote. Congressman Steve Israel, Democrat from New York, says, at this point, I don't see many Democrats voting at all for a bill that's so anti-ethical to the middle class. It makes no sense. And this is kind of what the Democrats are saying, that, you know, we're not going to go there specifically because of this. We can argue, we can debate, but it's not going to happen. So you give a little, take a little, and that's the whole law of the contract. But it's looking like this may just get pushed into the weekend before there's any vote, and then you have the Senate, and then you have to reconcile. So, you know, we'll see. It did look like this was going to happen, of $1.1 trillion, you know, in the spending bill, but now it's not looking so good. I guarantee the person who's scrambling the most on the Hill has to be House Speaker Boehner, trying to get votes wherever he needs them. I mean, that's what you do. I said this the other night. When you're a politician, you're running around trying to get people to jump on your side, for sure. Hey, thanks for sending in all of your thoughts to the mailbag. You can do it, too, if you're just listening to me for the first time. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Time waits for no one. That's why you should hurry to not miss the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663 to receive 20 to 25% off Mountain House freeze-dried foods. Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products, include real freeze-dried meats, entrees, eggs, fruits, and vegetables. Yes, 20 to 25% off now. Also receive 30% off other selected Mountain House foods, and receive 30% off selected Packaway brand dehydrated foods. Just call 866-404-3663 and ask for the Freeze Dry Guy. Plus, long-range patrol ration eggs and ham at superb discounts. But these are extremely hard to find and nearly gone, so call today. Ask about our LRP ice cream bars, too. Some items limited to stock on hand. And remember, the Freeze Dry Guy pays for shipping to your door within the lower 48 states. Order now. Don't miss out on the Freeze Dry Guy's end-of-year K-Slot sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
What color are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait.
No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
All my windows were barred. The sun made stripes of shade. I was sitting around like a zombie.
Time to talk turkey, and I really mean that. It's funny because on America Tonight, one of the things that we've debated a bunch is turkey's role in a couple of areas and whether or not they're really a good combo with us. Is this a good marriage? And who wrote about it? Our pal Ivan Eland, senior fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute for the Huffington Post. You can always catch his stuff there. And the headline of his latest piece was exactly that. Turkey is a bad ally. Ivan, thanks for coming on. And why is Turkey a bad ally?
Well, Turkey has been, you know, is right there where ISIS is along the, you know, Syria and Iraq, where ISIS is operating, is right on the Turkish border. And there, U.S. has been trying to get an air base, that's a NATO air base, which the use that U.S. has used in the past, permission from Turkey. It's on Turkish soil, so that they don't have to go as far to do airstrikes against ISIS. Well, Turkey wants to extract a price for that, even though the U.S. is, you know, helping to defend Turkey by bombing ISIS because it's right across the border. What the price is that we create this no-fly zone ostensibly for refugees, but against air power. So we would, you know, clear the skies of air power that are supposed to be hitting refugees, but ISIS really doesn't have much of an air force, so what they're really talking about is the Syrian air force. So they're trying to drag us into doing something about Assad, taking him out. They used to be friends with Assad, but then the leader of Turkey, Erdogan, he got this idea, well, you know, we should try to take Assad out. He's having a civil war, et cetera, so we'll let fighters go through our territory to help take him out. Well, of course, some of those fighters were ISIS fighters, some of them were Al-Qaeda fighters, et cetera. So, of course, Turkey helped cause this problem in the first place of ISIS, but is now, in order to allow us to defend Turkey from ISIS, they're demanding that we do more to take out Assad. And, of course, Obama's reluctant to do that. So, you know, they're at loggerheads right now over doing this, although the administration is thinking about a no-fly zone. But, of course, the no-fly zone, it seems like, you know, that's a humanitarian thing. But what it does is it runs you into a problem with the Syrians because they have aircraft up over their territory, and we're telling them you can't fly in your territory. We had the same problem when we put a no-fly zone over Saddam Hussein's Iraq in the 90s. And also, you have to take out Syrian air defenses to make the no-fly zone safe for everybody. So this is really a way to drag us into a conflict with the Syrian government.
Yeah, that's kind of dicey. I mean, obviously, where do we want to be on this? We got chess pieces all over the place, and isn't that part of the problem?
Well, the problem is that we're getting enmeshed in this civil war, both the civil war in Iraq and the civil war in Syria. And we want to take ISIS out so much, I guess, because we helped create them in the first place. And the problem is when you invade a country, you break it, you've bought it, as Colin Powell famously warned Bush when he did this. Bush is the root cause of this particular problem because ISIS was originally al-Qaeda in Iraq, which arose to oppose the U.S. invasion of Iraq. So when we invade places and we do these interventions, there's always a string of unintended consequences. If we look at Libya, it's the same thing. The country's in a shambles after we took out Muammar Gaddafi. Many of these countries, unfortunately, they're artificial countries. They either have tribal conflicts like Libya, or in the case of Syria and Iraq, they have, you know, ethnic and sectarian, different religious sects, the conflict among those. And oftentimes, it's only a strong leader that can hold the country together. So you either have to accept that there's going to be a strong leader, or you have to try to decentralize the governance there. And, of course, that's been effectively done on the ground because Iraq is partitioned and now Syria is partitioned. But, of course, the U.S. is now fighting ISIS. But ISIS is also fighting the Syrians, and the Iranians are also opposed to ISIS. So we're in league with Iran and Syria, to the Syrian government to some extent, because they all oppose ISIS. But, of course, we don't really like Iran and Syria. And, of course, Turkey, our ally, is demanding that we do more to take Assad out. And at one point we were ready to go to war not too long ago with Assad because he allegedly used chemical weapons against his own people. Now, I think that's sort of in dispute. He got rid of his chemical weapons, so he's removed any problem with the U.S., although the U.S. used to say that they would like to get rid of Assad. You don't hear Obama say that as much anymore, simply because, you know, they're opposed to ISIS. Iran is opposed to ISIS. So implicitly, we sort of have to work with these countries that we don't like because we don't like ISIS even more. But the whole thing is a mess, and I really think that the solution to it is not to get re-involved in it. The ISIS threat has been exaggerated to the United States. It certainly should be a concern to Turkey, should be a concern to Syria and Iran and Iraq. But is it really a concern for the United States? I think we really do need to get out of Iraq completely.
Yeah, boy, I agree with you there. And it seems, Ivan, if anything, we're dragging ourselves deeper and deeper into it. And you've written other pieces about this, and look where we're going with the airstrikes. And every single time it makes me nervous that every single time we see the president, we see anybody military brass-wise, they say, no boots on the ground. It's almost like handing out a calling card. No boots on the ground. And you know from history, when you start to hear sometimes that those kind of comments, that becomes the reality. It becomes the opposite of it. Do you
well,
think there is a
Well, it started to become that, really.
The chairman
of the Joint Chiefs of Staff wanted to leave that possibility open. We already have people on the ground in Iraq. There's going to be 3,000 Americans. There's going to be another 1,500 from other coalition countries. And Kerry just was pleading with Congress not to foreclose the ground force option, because there's some people in Congress, including Rand Paul and some Republicans, who want to limit the ground forces that are used and limit the time, put a time limit on how long we can be there. But Kerry, of course, was resistant to that. So I think we're already seeing some movement toward leaving the option open for more ground forces.
Yeah. The president of Turkey, we don't have necessarily a great relationship with the president?
Well, he's not only demanded this, but he's also said he was tired of meddling from, you know, thousands of miles away, meaning a clear reference to the United States. So, I mean, he may have a point there that we probably shouldn't be meddling, but yet he wants us to meddle, and so he's kind of being a hypocrite. But I would say let's just take him at his word and say, yes, okay, we were meddling, we'll get out, and then see what happens, you know, with him, because then I think he will be begging us to stay, because Turkey really should be doing more about this problem. We have very poor local forces that we can rely on. The Iraqi army ran. The Kurdish Peshmerga wasn't as vaunted as we thought they were. And in Syria, the Syrian regime we don't like and has, you know, it's holding its own in the civil war, but it's not, you know, it's not going to be able to get rid of ISIS. So we don't have too many local forces we can rely on. So how about regional forces? Well, who do you think? Turkey has the biggest army around there, and they're right on the border. They should be battling ISIS, but they fear the Kurds more than they do ISIS. So the problem is we have differing interests with the Turks. But we're in the NATO alliance with them. So we're supposedly have to defend them, but they haven't been attacked yet. So I say that the U.S. probably shouldn't be doing anything. The ISIS threat has been overstated. Al-Qaeda is still a bigger threat to the United States than ISIS is. ISIS is an army that operates in the open. Al-Qaeda has the bases and the agents, the network of agents worldwide, to be a much bigger problem for the U.S. still than ISIS does.
Yeah, and ISIS, don't you think it's that propaganda machine? Because, you know, it's like I call them the boys in black, but when you've got those beheadings and all those videos and all that conversation, it makes them seem giant, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what they're going for. You know, black is the color that intimidates people. They wear black outfits. They have a black flag. And they want to be macho, and they want people to think they're on the rise. And I think now we've seen at least a little bit of pushback from the other folks there. But I think there could be much more local help that I'm not sure that these airstrikes in the long term are going to, they tend to accidentally kill innocent civilians, which then creates more jihadists because the population gets mad. So I think airstrikes can do to some extent, but I think the real solution has to be either local or regional. And the U.S. going and charging in usually makes things worse. And what mystifies me about people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham is that they've seen all these military failures that we've had. I would say Afghanistan, Iraq, and now Libya. And yet they still are so optimistic that the U.S. can effectuate a great outcome here. And in fact, you know, the first time we invaded Iraq, we got Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Then it morphed into something worse. So now we're bombing that group. Well, what what unintended consequence will come out of the next one? Will there be a group that's even worse than ISIS? You know, I mean, where does it end? These unintended consequences of war are always, of course, people are always amazed by them, but they should know that war is unpredictable, war is predictable in the sense that it's unpredictable, and you shouldn't mess with it unless you have to.
Yeah, boys, truer words never spoken, I'll tell you what. Ivan Elin, Senior Fellow and Director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
The knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. Now is the time to secure Ancient Defense for you and your family. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. That's AncientDefense.com.
This holiday season, give the gift that keeps on giving, an in-home freeze dryer from Harvest Right. With your very own freeze dryer, you'll be able to freeze dry the food your family loves. Because we live in uncertain, difficult times, what better way to show your love for your family than to buy them a gift that helps them preserve food they can use now or in 25 years? Go to HarvestRight.com and find out how you can get your in-home freeze dryer. Layaway is available. That's HarvestRight.com.
We love that you're passionate about GCN. And whether you're a listener, a business owner, or a radio industry professional, we've redesigned the new GCN newsletter to keep you in the know. Get updates on your favorite GCN shows and hosts. Go to GCNlive.com and click on the banner in the upper left corner. Just for signing up, you're automatically entered for monthly giveaways. Start receiving your newsletter today. The future of talk radio. GCN.
My tea's gone cold, I'm wondering why I got out of bed at all.
I say it all the time, but without a doubt, if you're going to grab a movie, it's usually during the holidays. Perhaps you have a couple of extra days off, and you want to kill some time, you want to see something on the big screen. We have three movies we're going to look at during this cheap movie review. Top five, Exodus, God and Kings, and After the Fall. Isn't it funny? If you put them all together, what would that sound like? In your top five, Exodus, Gods and Kings, and yep, After the Fall. It almost goes together. The three movies have absolutely nothing in common, let's just say that. Top five is creating a lot of buzz. I'm going to talk about it in a second, but first I want you to hear a little snippet of the movie. Check it out.
What's up? This is Andre Allen, and when I listen to satellite radio, I listen to Sirius Hits 1.
That's good. Just make it a little funnier.
Funnier? Put a little stank on it. stank.
Nice and funny. Go!
What's up, mother? This is mother Andre Allen. Or scratch my nuts, that is.
First take was good.
In 2005, Time magazine voted today's guest the funniest man in America. By 2010, the former stand-up hit it big with Hammy the Bear 1, 2, and 3.
You got Hammy time! Hammy time!
You can also see him getting married to reality star Erica Long.
Where's my kiss?
Do we have to do this on camera?
Not on camera. Doesn't exist.
I don't feel like doing funny movies anymore. I don't feel funny.
Save some of that stuff for your Times interview.
I just want a decent story. You give me a couple of really honest things, I will be more than fair.
This is Chelsea Brown. She's doing a story on me. No snitching.
Come to me, baby girl. I'm going to turn over like an apple pie.
You know what? You just ate an apple pie, you fat motherfucker.
Things are changing. You need to wake up this motherfucker.
No. You ain't never changed.
Thank God things
changed. Hey, look at this. Black man trying to get a cab in New York City. Taxi, yeah! Do you think the wedding is hurting me?
Are you kidding me?
Andre, this thing slaps.
We could be talking Dancing with the Stars, man.
Hold on. What is going on? Where did I run to?
Zoolander's in the conference room.
Ben Stiller's in the conference. These white people don't tell me.
Why don't you just skip the hat questions and go right to something good?
All right. How come you're not funny anymore?
Everybody's funny or drunk. You ever see Oprah drunk? She's hysterical.
It's my town. Anything you need, you let a brother know. We drink, serve. You want some of this shirt?
I got married a lot of times. I wasn't into the wedding. I should have been into the guy, as used to be into the girl.
My top five is Jay, Nas, Scarface, Rakim, and then I might let Biggie get in there. My sixth man is LL Cool J. Wow. Before the show!
Oh my God.
Hey, Gray, you mind if I get some of them hangers, man? I need some wood and hang. Oh, damn it. They got the lock on them. They hip to your boy.
All right, so Chris Rock, what's interesting about this is he wrote it, directed it, and he stars in it. Rosario Dawson is also in this. Gabrielle Union is also in this. And it's gotten a lot of pretty good reviews. The 2014 Toronto Film Festival gave it high marks. And you can tell by the little clip we showed, he's a film star. He's confronting the whole idea of comedy and his career. And he's being interviewed by a journalist who is Rosario Dawson. So we'll see where this picture goes. But it's definitely being pumped all over the place. There's no question about that. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of comedians in it. You heard Whoopi Goldberg. Jerry Seinfeld's in it. Opie and Anthony. You also have Cedric the Entertainer. Adam Sandler, who he's good friends with. He has a little thing in this. And somebody who's been on our show, J.B. Smoove, also, you could hear him in the little clip that we played. So top five will certainly find its audience, because comedy always does well this time of year. Besides top five, which, by the way, is rated R and it's just under 2 hours, Exodus Gods and Kings. Check this one out.
I came to tell you something is coming that is far beyond my control. Unless you set my people free. I am prepared to fight for eternity. Moses, you say that you didn't cause all this. You say that your God did.
I am the God! I am the God!
Moses, they are animals. I will drown them in the Nile, as you should have been. I don't think so. What is it?
Rameses, 4,000 men, 1,000 chariots.
Ready yourself! You've honored me with your trust! If you stay, you will perish! Follow me! You will be free! Do not be afraid! God is with us!
right, so Exodus, Gods, and Kings. Actually, I want to see this. Christian Bale is in it. Ridley Scott directed it. John Turturro is in it. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad is in it. And it's Moses, and he's rising up against the Egyptian pharaoh Ramses. And this movie, I think it'd be really sweet to see because of some of the effects, and it's not doesn't look like it's ridiculously over the top, by the way. And, of course, you know, if you know anything about Exodus, you know that it's the interpretation of the Exodus of the Hebrews from Egypt, led by Moses, and related in the book of Exodus. And it's interesting, this movie is dedicated to Ridley Scott's younger brother, Tony Scott, who committed suicide back in 2012. So it really kind of sticks to the biblical interpretation anyway. Ben Kingsley is in this. Sigourney Weaver is in it. I mean, it's kind of like a who's who of actors. They couldn't get enough of trying to jump on this project. And this movie is expected to do quite well, too. And this is one of those movies, I think, that will find its niche for sure. If you don't see it on the big screen, although this would probably be good on the big screen, then wait and stream it. It's definitely worth a stream. Moving from Exodus to After the Fall, this is the last one on our list of the cheap movie reviews, and here it is.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for seeing me.
Sure, absolutely. Have a seat.
Check this out.
What's this?
This is from the Suburban that was reported stolen. Now, I went back to the records, and I found something really interesting.
Stop. What are you doing, Bill? I mean, you don't even work here anymore.
You're a month behind on your mortgage, Mr. Scanlon. I'm a little concerned. You took out a $40,000 home loan. Is that something you can liquidate?
I'm doing everything I can to get this money.
If you let it go past 30 days, we're going to have to start court proceedings.
Sophia, keep this on the line. I know the difference between good and bad. Morality is an illusion.
Be so nervous.
Your family?
Are we talking about your house?
No, we're talking about my house.
My wife, my kids, my home. Where are they gonna go, right? Why'd you bail me out? I bailed you out, right? We all bailed you out.
It's my job. I can't really see a future in it.
People make mistakes. Everybody does. There ain't no sin. There ain't no virtue. It's just things people do.
All right, so After the Fall, actually, this is pretty interesting. It's a play by Arthur Miller. The original opened in the 60s. It was directed by Ilya Kazan, and now it's turned into a movie. It's rated R. It's a crime kind of genre. And some of the people in this movie you'd probably recognize. It's about a family guy loses his job and everything kind of spirals out of control. And so what does he do? He has to turn to crime. And it has a very good ending. I won't spoil it for you. Rated R, a couple of hours, just under 2 hours. I think it'll find its audience. For sure it's worth a stream. If you go to the movies, remember, you can send us a cheap movie review. Just send it to americatonight.net and I'll send you a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field. Thanks for listening.
For 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey Guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.